Welcome to the Vinyasa Chick podcast, just for today, where we talk about something for just today. My name is Haley Duggan, aka Vinyasa Chick, and I'm so grateful that you are listening today. We're going to start this podcast with a moment to reflect on something that you're grateful for right here, exactly where you are. We have so much to be grateful for, and usually we take this life for granted. And when we start to pay attention, we begin to realize how abundant our lives truly are, and our view, our vibe, and how we interact with the world around us starts to shift. So make shift happen. Pause the podcast and think about what you're grateful for right here and right now. Today, I'm grateful for the support from a friend. Yesterday, I hurt my back and I came in to work out with a friend. I told her I was having some issues and she was able to tailor what we were doing to fit my needs. So I'm grateful to have knowledgeable, physically active friends to help me when I'm literally in pain. So today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about how to stay focused. And somebody asked me specifically to discuss how do we stay focused while we're practicing yoga. But I honestly think that you can take what I'm sharing with you into other practices, whether it's taking care of someone, doing your job, taking the dogs on a walk, because it's kind of other areas of your life. It doesn't necessarily just have to be yoga. And so why is it so hard for us to stay focused? And I'm sure there's a lot of peer-reviewed journals out there that will support this statement, because I did a little bit of research, but it is out there that it's really hard for us to stay focused, especially now, because of our attention span that we're learning from our devices. So the smartphones and length of ads is usually our attention span is really short. It's like goldfish attention span because everything is moving so quickly and things change really quickly. Specifically, just think of how many images and words you're exposed to just by scrolling through social media. And you're unable to pay attention for an extended period of time now because everything's really quick and changing the whole time and you just have rapid exposure to so many things. So that's one reason why it's hard to stay focused. Another one is the glorification of multitasking and doing the most of what we can and as quickly as possible. I think it's this, you know, I'm doing air quotes, but you can't see that, like, new and sexy thing is to slow down, and that's just barely starting. But I think in a lot of fields and pretty much widely spread still, it's this, well, how many things are you doing? And, well, I'm doing more than you're doing, so why are you stressed or whatever? I think that we really glorify people doing way too much. And we are like, wow, look at like him or her go with all that shit they're carrying on their plates. It's like, yeah, but they look miserable. So that the glorification of multitasking, I think, also makes it really hard for us to pay attention. We're already trying to do like 17 things at once. And so what's the big deal about staying focused specifically with the yoga practice, and then I can kind of weave that into normal life. The big deal about staying focused is what do we gain from being present? And that present moment awareness is self-liberating versus self-crippling. Most of our issues are self-inflicted, and to be truly present, the self isn't really part of that. And so it's a lot of self words into one kind of sentence, but meaning that the present moment is self-liberating is you're not thinking of your to-do list and the your in there, your to-do list, all the things you have to do, what's going on in your life. It's just, it's free of all those things because you're showing up right there for whatever it is, regardless of how you feel about it. You're just checking in right then and there. And the whole idea of things being self-inflicted, as much as we don't like to acknowledge that, it's so true. Yes, there's a lot of things that are out of our control which cause suffering, but a lot of other things are caused by our own relationship to that and the self-talk and how we deal with it. And so how do we choose to pay attention to the present moment? What are some things that you can focus on to bring your attention back to whatever it is that you're doing? And so one of the easiest ones, and what I tell people is the entry point to mindfulness and present moment awareness, is to just focus on the breath. And just to pay attention to how you decide to bring your attention back to the breath. So you're breathing and you're answering emails, and all of a sudden you've lost the breath and you're answering emails and planning dinner and trying to answer 4 text messages at the same time, and you lose the breath. So as you begin to lose that present moment awareness of, I'm just answering this email, are you bringing your attention back to the breath by being nice? Are you doing like, oh, it's okay, come back to the inhale, be here? Or is it like, oh my gosh, get your shit together, come back to this email, come back to this breath? So I'm interested in not only if you're able to come back to the breath, but the quality of how you're getting there. I think that we're kind of hard on ourselves when we decide we're going to do something, and then we start to be a human, which is fine. The human condition is to wander, and to beat yourself up about it is a waste of time, I think. So how we're bringing ourselves back to the present moment, whether it's with a loving intention or with anger or frustration. Our human condition is to mess it up. We cause our own suffering. And so we call this in Buddhist tradition, and a lot of times it shows up in yoga, is our first dart is human suffering. So it's just kind of part of being a human. Shit happens. But then the second dart is that we judge ourselves for effing it up. And we can't really stop the suffering or the first dart, like it just happens, but we can stop ourselves from throwing the second one. And that's the quality of how we bring ourselves back to that present moment awareness is where we grow. And the quality of our effort to bring ourselves back is how we get stronger and how we learn to persevere when life is like throwing a million things at you and you're just trying to breathe. So that one, breathing, you can do in your yoga practice. You can do it when you're driving. You can do it when you're answering emails, when you're in a meeting. And another one that I think goes also into both yoga practice and kind of real life, off the mat life, is you can use an intention to keep yourself focused. One thing that you're striving to do that day or that practice, so that when you start to wander from that, you've got something that's important enough for you to stop what you're doing and to come back to your intention. And I'm going to talk about this mostly in the yoga world, but you can think about that intention in your everyday life. You know, today I'm intending to be kind to people. And when you find yourself not being kind, it's like, okay, I need to be focused back on being kind again. I need to be focused on this present moment thing. So when it shows up in yoga class, usually I start my classes with an intention. Maybe it's a mantra to help keep us focused as we move and breathe, so that when things get challenging, both mentally and physically, you're going to try to stay focused. And that to-do list, or, you know, we call it the monkey mind in yoga, it's just running around constantly. It keeps busting in. So you've got this thing, this intention that you're focused on to keep you right here instead. It's pretty challenging to do your to-do list and to also be fully present in like what your shoulders and your arms and your legs are doing in a yoga pose. It's really challenging to do both of those things at the same time. And so that's why I enjoy using that intention to bring you back a purpose behind what you're doing. This last one, I think you could use it in everyday life. If in everyday life you're also meditating, so do with this one what you will. And it's not necessarily my favorite. I'd rather cultivate present moment awareness by focusing on the breath or an intention or like a mantra or something. But you can also use your gaze or your drishti. And so that's like in your standing poses, your, you know, your warrior twos and stuff. Your gaze is over the front fingertips if the hand is out in front of you. If the arms are up and overhead, they say, whoever they is, say you're supposed to look up. Or looking up at your nose is something if you're, you know, reversing something. So you're in a warrior two and you're right foot's forwards and your right arm is by your ear, then you can either look up at the hand or look up at the tip of your nose. And like I said, this one's kind of my least favorite, and it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just really, really effing hard. And I tried to do it once and I like gave myself a headache because I was trying to watch like the movement of the room and also just trying to focus on the one spot. And it's not an excuse, like it's just the truth. I do think that using the gaze to help keep you focused is very useful in meditation. If you're having a hard time, like sometimes with the eyes closed, traditionally meditation is taught with the eyelids to be kind of at this, like I call it half mast. So kind of half the eyelids half closed. With the eyes closed, you're completely turning yourself off to what's going on around you, which is helpful. But also you can kind of get lost in that. Like you can start visualizing, coming up with other things. So that's why I think it's really useful in meditation, just because it gives you one thing to kind of focus your intention on. And there's a type of meditation where you're like focusing on the flame of a candle or something. That's a thing. But like I said, if you're doing kind of a really active practice, like really fast vinyasa, flowing one breath, one movement, I think it's really hard to just focus on one point. Also, if you can focus another way in your practice, whether it be on the breath or on an intention, I don't really care what you're doing with your gaze or where you're looking as long as it's not distracting to you. And I have some informed opinions. That's how I've decided to say things. I have some informed opinions about how you're holding your head in yoga postures. So, you know, oh, traditionally you're supposed to look at your whatever. I'm like, I don't know about that. I've got some questions about it. So I've got some confusion about where you're quote unquote supposed to be looking, how that fits into body mechanics. So again, if you can get focused another way, then it doesn't really matter how you're doing your gaze as long as it's not distracting or painful to you. So I hope this is helpful about how do you stay focused and specifically with the yoga practice. And we'll end with our mantra like we always do. Just for today, I will be loving to myself when my mind begins to wander. Just for today, I will choose to come back to the present moment, even if I can only be there for one breath. Just for today, I will try not to throw that second dart. So thanks you guys so much for listening. And if you can, it would be really helpful to me and what Ian and I are trying to do here with this podcast to rate and review. Every little bit of feedback really helps. And please, 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 please know that I'm already appreciating the shit out of you just by choosing to listen. So thanks so much and have a great day. Namaste.